Hi, everyone, and welcome back to season two of Fabulous Women Over 40, where we create conscious conversations with men and women who are impacting the world. I'm your host, Kara Allen, a celebrity stylist, and today my guest is a mindset and manifestation mentor who I found on TikTok when I was going through, I don't know, I can't even call it a breakup, maybe it was a situationship, and I discovered the fabulous Flora Sivos. Hello, Flora.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for having me on. This is going to be so fun.
I'm so excited. Thank you for coming today and having this chat with me because I'm so excited. Literally, you were the catalyst for my new relationship that I'm in now. Well, my marriage now. And I just had to have you on here to talk about all the deets of how you became you and this amazing manifestation mentor coach person that you are now.
Yes, let's get into it. I'm excited.
So tell me a little bit about your upbringing and your family. Like, where did you grow up and what does your family do? All those little details.
So my family and I actually migrated here from Hungary. So we were born, I'm from Budapest originally. Okay. And we lived in South Florida for the majority of my life. I grew up here in South Florida. And my story really is one of a lot of struggle. So being a legal immigrant family, I think I lived here illegally for like 10 years. So okay. It was a lot of seeing my parents take on under the table jobs, you know, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of struggle. That's really what I grew up watching. And I kind of adopted that story as my own for a while, where I felt like, this is it, right? These are the cards I've been dealt and I have to struggle. And this is what's normal for me. I kind of adopted that as my own identity.
Right.
And it took me, you know, until almost the age of 30 to break out of that shell.
Wow. So what did your parents do for these jobs that they were taking money under the table and things, if you don't mind sharing it?
Yeah. So my mom was a house cleaner. So she would clean houses in Palm Beach, Fort Lauderdale around here for different people, you know, just part-time work, anything that she could really do to bring in some extra money for groceries and things like that. And then my dad took on a position where he was pretty much an appliance installer for kitchen appliances.
Okay.
So he was a truck driver and delivery person and installer. So he did that for a really long time working. He had really long days, like 13-hour shifts. So we would never really see my dad in the daytime.
But it was all good, honest work.
It was honest work. It was hard work. It was, you know, it got somehow, there's three of us with me and my siblings. So it's a family of five, and somehow they kept us afloat, you know, with no papers, without like very strong income. They were able to, no matter what, they would give, you know, the shirt off their back for people. That's just how my parents are. They're very kind, very generous. So I respect them so much. And, you know, if you're an immigrant child, you kind of know your immigrant parents will literally sacrifice the world for you.
Right.
Give up everything.
Man. And so how old are your siblings? Where are you falling in there?
I'm the baby. So I'm the youngest. Yeah. So I'm 31. My sister is about to be 34. And then my brother is the oldest. He's going to be 36.
Okay. And so what is your relationship with them like, your siblings?
I have a great relationship with them. My sister, I live with her. So we have a house here in Fort Lauderdale together.
Nice.
And my entire family lives back in Hungary. So they moved back into the country. And I have a good relationship with my older brother as well. He's autistic. So we've developed a very fun, loving relationship with each other. He had a very rough upbringing just because of the way he interacts socially. But he's a character.
And what do they all do for a living, your siblings?
My sister is a project coordinator. She's in engineering.
Oh, nice.
My brother lives with my parents, so he's taken care of by them. And my parents now, after all the hardships, my parents actually got into real estate here in Florida.
Nice.
So they started learning how to flip properties and rent out properties. So even though they live in Hungary again, they actually live off of the rent income that they make here, which is really great.
So what did you grow up doing in your first job? Like what did you have? Let me put it a different way. What did you dream of being when you got older, you know, as you saw them and all the struggles they had to go through, what did you fall into as far as your profession and like, you know, where you're like, I don't want to have to struggle. What was your mindset around all of that?
You know, for a while, they instilled in me that success is climbing the corporate ladder. So at 17, I got my first job and I started working full time in corporate. So I worked in marketing firms. I worked in HR firms. Mm-hmm. So I was really like corporate girl to the max. Even in and out of college, I was working in corporate. I worked for the Golf Channel and NBC in Orlando. I worked, I just did a lot of marketing, a lot of sales. I worked at Verizon Telecommunications. So just a lot of corporate work. And one thing I noticed is I was just so unsatisfied. No matter how high up I was able to bring myself, the satisfaction component was missing. So I would always quit. After a certain year or two, I would always quit everything and try to start something new. And that's when I realized, like, maybe I got to start my own thing. Maybe this isn't for me, you know?
Right. So then when did you have your first foray into manifestation? Like, how did you discover it and how did it impact you when you first discovered it?
You know, when I discovered it, it's so funny. When I first moved to America, I hated school. So I would do anything to try to get my parents to let me stay home because I didn't really understand English yet. I was in ESOL classes. I just didn't really enjoy it. So I would make, this sounds so funny when everyone hears it, I would make myself get sick mentally.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I would tell myself, like, the day before maybe a test or an event I didn't want to be a part of, I would sit there at nighttime and start telling my parents how ill I am, how my fever's so high, how I have cold sweats, my throat is none of it was true. I was totally gaslighting myself.
Right.
And then the next day I would break out with a full fever, completely falling ill. So I realized from a very young age, I'm like, my mind is in control of me. And whatever I tell my mind, it's going to manifest physically. So I didn't even know the term manifestation because English wasn't really my language just yet, but I realized I'm like, oh, everything happens here first and then it comes out after. So it was from a very young age when I kind of caught on, but it wasn't until I was in, I think in my sales roles in my mid 20s where all of my managers were like, you're so positive. You help everybody. Maybe you should take on personal development management within our company and really help people with their sales mindset and with their personal development goals in life. So I kind of took on those roles and I'm like, I'm really good at this and it really makes an impact on people. And I see their sales are going up and I see that their attitudes are better. And then I was like, I think I can do this on my own.
Interesting. So did you start a coaching business at that point or like, no?
No, I was terrified. I was so scared of going out on a limb and doing anything on my own. Mm-hmm. I remember the first thing I did to leave my 9-to-5 is I joined a network marketing business. It was a beauty brand. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of fun. They actually taught manifestation in there as well, a lot of personal development. And then it did make some money. I was able to quit my 9-to-5 and then I lost it all because, again, I was operating out of a lot of scarcity, like, what's going to happen? What if the money runs out? And then the money ran out, right? So everything that I was afraid of and kept thinking over and over, it happened, it occurred. Right. And then I found myself in maybe about 5 or 6 months of just having no work, eating up my savings account, trying to pay things off. And then I had nothing. I fell into a lot of debt and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do right now. So I wanted to start a business but I didn't have money. So I was like, what am I going to do? Do I get a job and start a business? And I was like, what is the easiest thing for me to do right now to make some quick cash? Mm-hmm. And I had like ads on TikTok and other places saying you should become an Uber driver. It's so easy to make money on Uber, right? If you have a car, you can drive for Uber, make money the same day. So I'm like, you know what? This is my path of least resistance. I have a working car, right? I have just enough to pay for some gas to run that car. And if I can make money this week, maybe I can buy groceries and pay my rent. So I started to do that. And I was like, I'm still going to develop my own business. I didn't know how. And it kind of came to me one night. I remember it was November or December of 2021. And I was like, I just want to help people with their mindset. And I don't know how that's going to make money. I don't know how that's going to actually benefit me, but I'm like, I just trust that if I allow people to reach a new level in their life, I'm going to be rewarded through abundance in some way, shape, or form. I just had a very big trust in that. Mm-hmm. And so as I was doing Uber, I would do it every single night. I would deliver people's food through Uber Eats. And then in the daytime, I would get on TikTok and just make free videos, just teach people right. how to feel better, how to be happier, how to focus on better health, how to have more loving relationships. And then I would start talking about money. I'm like, this is my situation with money. Mm-hmm. And this is what I'm doing to get out of it. And then I want to say about 2 months into my TikTok account, it went completely viral. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a business set up still. I was just sharing information. And then I had like an influx of followers saying, hey, I want to work with you. I'll pay you whatever you want. And right. I was like, okay.
I'm not going to turn that down.
Yeah. I'm like, if I don't, and it was funny because I had a sales mindset and you're so used to having to ask for the sale, mm-hmm. right? Because I would sell cell phones, I would sell products and I'm like, hey, you should get this. And then I would, you know, you have to upsell the person. You want to get all the right. gadgets with it. Because they would push you always more, more, more. Mm-hmm. So I went into this instead and I was like, oh, everyone comes to me. I don't ask anyone if they want to work with me. They just want to. They come. It's an attraction, right? Mm-hmm. You start to attract people who want you, who adore you, who value you. And I was like, okay, I don't have an LLC. I don't have anything set up, but I do have a PayPal account. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you guys can send me payment through PayPal and we'll get on a Zoom call just like this and we'll chit chat and I'll help you with whatever you need. Mm-hmm. And in about 3 weeks of doing that, I got completely sold and booked out.
Wow.
Doing one-on-one coachings and I couldn't take on more clientele. So my next step was I have to create a product where people can teach themselves with mm-hmm. my coaching. So I created a workshop, which was so easy. You've seen it. It's so easy to the yep. point. It's just like an ebook, like a PDF. And I'm like, you know, I'll make it really affordable. I'll put it on my TikTok. And then that went viral because mm-hmm. so many people were flooding my comment sections with, oh my God, your method works. The self-concept stuff works. All I yep. have is change my mind and I attracted X, Y, and Z. So people became my testimonials where, mm-hmm. so it just turned into like this very well-oiled machine. Like people found my videos that were very helpful. They purchased a very basic product. They sent in testimonials and then that attracted way more people. Mm-hmm. It just kept happening over and over. And then in about 3 months of me doing that, I hit my first $25,000 month and I was like, forget Uber. This is what I'm going to do. And then turned it into a full-fledged business.
That is so awesome. And so were you just delivering Uber Eats or were you picking up people too? Or you just delivered the food?
No, yeah, I was terrified of having like a grown man sit in my car because, you know, as a woman, you never know. So I was like, I'm just going to do Uber Eats and make it safe for myself. Right. It's a little bit less money than actual Ubering, but you have, you yeah. know, quick turnaround. You get to pick up a lot of different things. And it was enough for me to get by for those first 3 months.
So you said so many things in talking about this that I want to break down because it was like, you know, when people think of sales and marketing, right, it's all about getting somebody to buy or, you know, people think of sales as being slimy and, oh, you're tricking people into doing stuff or manipulating them or any of that. Mm-hmm. And the way you described that, it was just like, I was just sharing information and then people liked what I had to say. And it's just such a simple concept that you know, I think we overthink things in that sense of like, we got to do this. We got to have this. We got to do that. We got to, you know, put on 10 TikToks a day to yeah. talking about come buy my product, come buy the, you know, like all the call to actions. Because when you think about it, you, as a entrepreneur, I've been a stylist for 20 years and I've never necessarily had that. I just never felt to do that. Like, mm-hmm. oh, come work with me, you know, but they always say, put the call to action in there. So, you know, it's one thing to say, hey, if you want more information, follow me, da, da, da. But, you know, the way you describe it is just so simple. Like, literally, it's like, I just did it like it was breathing.
Yeah. And it's, you know, we call it in manifestation, the law of least effort. So it's the least resistance possible. So you do something that really excites you. That's the first thing. Does it bring passion up? Does it bring a fire out of you?
Right.
That's your calling. So that excitement is the internal GPS guiding you on what you should do, right? Because I've done other things like drop shipping, and like, it was so boring. I hated it. And then it failed. And I was like, why is it failing? I invested all this money. Why is it? It's because I had no excitement. It wasn't my calling, you know?
Right.
So if there's something that you have inside of you, maybe you're good at, or you're just interested in it, and it brings up excitement and elevates the emotional level of the person, you have an electric charge in the body. That electric charge is a guidance force. So that's like God speaking to you, like, hey, you feel that feeling, you got to do that. You feel that happiness, you got to do that thing. So it became like an effortless way of, oh, let me turn the camera on. Let me talk about what's on my mind. Mm-hmm. And I made it very inclusive rather than exclusive. So I would just share things for free. And then people were like, I want more. I want more. Like, this makes so much sense. And then sure, here, you can download this. It's affordable. And then it just, you know, since we are living in an attraction-based universe, the least resistance a person has to what they're doing, the more abundance they're able to bring in, the more opportunities they can bring in, because we're like these little magnets. So if I were to do something that I didn't feel good about, I would attract in a lot of bad. I would attract in people who maybe are very critical of what I do, people who don't want to work with me. I would be losing money, because money comes and goes, right? And it depends on how you spend money, how much actually stays in your life. So yeah, it was all these little components. I'm like, okay, I just have to like be myself and do what I enjoy. And I don't have to like bust my ass, and I don't have to struggle. Like, I was taught, I was brought up on struggle, and I'm like, oh, like, that's not what I have to do. Like, are you serious? There's another way.
Right.
And it was all these epiphanies. And now that's what I teach. I'm like, guys, you don't have to struggle. You know, you want to do things that are enjoyable and that bring fire out of you, because that is your body's way of telling you, this is what's actually going to lead you to all the abundance. You don't need to know how it's going to happen. You need to accept that, hey, this is what I really like. I just got to do it, and it's going to come.
So, I saw one of your videos you made, and you were talking about how, I don't remember the exact title, but I've had so many people tell me in general, when I talk to them about manifestation, that's witchcraft, that's this, that's that. And so what do you say to people that have that mindset about, you know, or even like the hardworking thing, like, you're not supposed to, you have to work to get stuff. What do you say to those people who are like, no, that's, you're going against what the Bible says?
Yeah, it's so funny. I actually have a whole podcast episode about manifestation inside of the Bible. So if we really get in tune with the Bible, we're going to realize that it teaches about the human psyche a lot. And the Bible teaches you that God's riches were guaranteed for you, and that God's kingdom lives within. So the subconscious mind is creating on your behalf based on the mental commands we give it. So the proper form of prayer is by speaking to yourself in a way as if you already have the thing. So pray as if you've already received the answer to your prayer, right?
Right.
So, and then people are like, this is not biblical. And I was like, no, this is actually how you reach salvation physically while you're here on earth, because you have to kill off the old self, the old identity, by no longer identifying with your hardships. And then you are resurrected in the mind, and you receive your blessing through a new identity. It's a resurrection of the person. So when Jesus came back in the day, and they say, Jesus doesn't see you for your illness, Jesus sees you for your wellness, and he heals you.
Exactly.
We have the same power. Kind of like how I said I would make myself sick in the early days to not go to school. It's because I would focus on illness so hard that my body broke out in a flu. When you do the opposite, you focus on your wellness, just like Jesus did, you become your own healer. So we're offered all these gifts through the subconscious mind that if we can tap into it and learn how to use it, we're going through a identity transformation, and we're resurrected, and we reach our own salvation to our problems. And it's a gift. Like, these are gifts that we've been given that should be used the right way. They shouldn't be frowned upon. I've had the witchcraft things come up, like, oh, this is This is like demonic work. And I was like, but how? Because we don't use any elements. We don't use spells. We literally just talk to ourselves in a way where I have it all. I'm so blessed. I'm so abundant. I have a beautiful home. I have the great business. I have the great friendships. I have a loving partner. And I was like, let me know, where do you see witchcraft in that? And they're like, I don't. And I'm like, yeah, you're afraid of your own power. So you want to label it as something negative. That's all.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah. People don't know what they're capable of, so they fear it.
Well, and two, what's interesting, if you're familiar with the verse about Job, where he said, the thing I feared most has come upon me, where he talked, you know, where he lost all his children, all his livestock, you know, everything happened to him in one day. And he never really mentioned that in the verses before, that he was fearing something happening to him, but he said that. And then and I found that in my own life, that randomly I was like, oh, the worst thing I think could ever happen to me is get in an accident with my kids. And then something happens, I get hurt and I can't help them. And I kept replaying this, you know, almost in the subconscious way. And it ended up happening that I got in an accident with them. I wasn't hurt, thank God. And I was able to help them. But I was like, let me stop thinking stupid stuff like that. Because you literally have the power to bring it about on you. Literally.
Literally. And these fearful thoughts, we believe in them. Mm-hmm. We believe like, oh, there's a possibility. And we don't realize that we're actually imprinting it and molding our subconscious with these neural pathways, with habitual thought patterns, mm-hmm. where these things are going to physically birth themselves in front of us. So we really do have to practice awareness of where our mind is going throughout the day, because you can focus on heaven on earth all day and you can focus on hell on earth all day. Because we see both. Yeah. No matter where you look, you see the good and you can also see the bad. It's a choice on how you're going to perceive what you're viewing. So what I always tell people is, if something negative just happened to you, what you really want to do in a playful way is be like, this is just the unfolding of my desire. This mm-hmm. had to happen so something better can come in. And when you assign that meaning, you have a very dominant belief of, everything is always working out for me. I'm the luckiest person on earth. And your life increasingly gets better month after month, year after year, with that habit of thought. Even if something bad, because bad things do happen. We're not perfect. And there's so many people co-creating with us. So bad things can happen. But are you going to spiral, or are you going to be like, oh my God, this is making space for a lot of good stuff to come in for me now?
Right. It's, you know, there's no perfect life or anything. And no, I think one thing the Bible says is we're not guaranteed a life of not having any misery happen. But it's then like, what do you do when it happens? Like you said, do you spiral, or you're like, oh, then maybe that's just something that had to happen and something better is right around the corner.
And that's usually it. And if we give it that opportunity of just kind of trying to remain as calm as possible and allowing us to watch an unfolding happen of something better, it's going to come, because it's driven by your belief. It's kind of like having blind faith, right? Mm-hmm. But if we believe that like the world is out to get us, then it really is, because that also becomes your belief and that it also becomes your new truth. So you're the operant power here. So you have the deciding factor of what you're going to experience for your life. And I always tell people, like, you don't have to wait to create something better. You can do it in the moment. Mm-hmm. You can do what we call segment intending in the moment. So the next time you walk into a room, you're going to play out a scenario in your mind of things going really well versus what we normally do of all the insecurities. Mm-hmm. What are people going to think about me? What are they going to say? How do I look? This is going to be really uncomfortable. Do I look good? Is there something in my teeth? Do I look overweight? We play out our biggest insecurities every time we walk into a room. And people see you for what you're thinking about yourself.
Right.
So we're actually kind of like in control of people's perception of us because of the law of assumption. Right. Everybody is you pushed out. So people are operating under your assumptions within your own personal reality. So my best bet, I'm like, okay, so next time before walking into a room, envision that room gravitating to you, people loving you. You're like a magnet to miracles,
right?
A magnet to attraction. You're a magnet to luck. See how people welcome you with respect and open arms and love. I'm like, if you keep playing out these scenarios rather than what we used to do through insecurities, you are now literally a miracle magnet. you just get the blessings over and over and over, no matter where you go. It's phenomenal how that happens.
I love how you have such joy about this too. Like, you know, it's so, it's like, it's fun for you and it's just joyful. That's, you know, it comes across. That's all I can say.
Yeah. It's, you know, 'cause I was the opposite for my whole life. I was like, I was like negative Nancy. I was miserable. I really complained a lot. I had a habit of gossiping, complaining, and venting. And I didn't realize those are creative forces manifesting my life. I'm like, why do I have the shittiest people come to me? Why do I have negative relationships and narcissistic people abusing me? Like, why does this happen to me? I'm so nice. I'm so kind. I didn't realize I had a perception of myself being a victim. And as I changed that, I'm like, oh, no, I'm the prize. I'm not a victim. I'm a champion. I'm not a victim.
Yeah.
The whole world shifted with that perception change.
I love that. So you talk a lot about money and, you know, your journey into your months of massive abundance. But were there any relationships that you manifested, you know, that were better than, or, you know, I know you said you're single. I think you said you were single the last time, but, you know, just give us a little peep into that.
Yeah, I'm actually seeing somebody now. And it was actually an art of manifesting. I didn't even realize it when I met him, but maybe about a month prior to meeting him, I made a list. Because I was being, you know, when you feel playful, it's such a good time to manifest because you're
right.
in good vibration and you're like, oh, this is fun and you don't have resistance to anything. So I made a list of like my ideal partner. And I was like, he loves to travel. He's very driven and has his own busy life. He's supportive of what I do. He has a fun personality, very caring, very loving, very warm. What else did I write in there? Good sense of humor, tall, you know, physical attraction, sexual attraction. I made like a whole list of like my ideal person. About three, four weeks later, I was at an event in Miami and I ran into him randomly outside of the valet and we just started talking and then that was the person. I didn't know. And he kept calling me and calling me. And I was like, why does he keep bothering me? I wouldn't give it a chance. I was so stuck on like, I don't want a relationship.
Right.
He was very persistent. And one day I was just like, let me just try. Let's just see where it goes. And I'm like, oh my God, he's the guy on the list. He checks off the whole list. Like I created that.
That's so like, cool.
I drew that event somehow into my life and I just sit and I tell him that and he's like, what? Oh, I'm serious. It was, I did it, not you. I did it.
Right. You don't have anything to do with it. You just showed up.
You were just called, you were just attracted to me for, because I mentally played the game, right? The game of having a great self-concept, the game of feeling unconditionally loved. And then you kind of start to attract like really valuable people. And it also took a part of mine realizing like, hey, I should give this person a chance. He seems a little different than people I was used to in the past. Mm-hmm. And it turned out so well. It's just been fun. Like there's not one negative thing I can say about it. And I've never had that feeling of, wow, this relationship is fun. It's not hard work. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm sure the girls are going to be happy to hear about that.
Yeah.
When you start talking about it. But I always tell people when you're dating, it should be like a buffet. Like you should have fun with it. Because I had a friend who was always like, you know, and I'm like, if you feel like that, you probably shouldn't be dating because you're bringing all of that funky energy into it. It should be like, hey, today I want some chicken. Tomorrow I want some shrimp. Wednesday I want some steak. And Thursday, no, thank you. I'm good with what I'm good for the week. I don't need anything else.
It's so true. And just like your friend, I had that like, mentality. I was like, all men are the same.
Right.
All men are trash. All men are going to hurt me. Like, I don't even want to bother with them. It wasn't until I kind of opened myself and was like, no, like I can have fun with men and they can treat me right. And they can take really good care of me. Like they're smart enough and capable of doing that. I need to give them more credit. And once I started to do that, is when my dating life changed really, really, really fast.
And that's the funny thing about it, because like with my story and how I found you, I had been in this like situationship with this person for, I don't know, it was so insane how long it had been going on. And I'd known him for years. And so it wasn't like I was always focused on him. I would kind of dabble dating him, and then I would go off and date somebody else. And then when that would end, I was maybe come back to him later or whatever, you know. So, but this was the first time we were kind of focused on possibly having a relationship. But we talked more about having a relationship than we did having one, which was so insane. So what ended up happening was around my 50th birthday, he came to my party, and normally I would always have, like, he drank bourbon, so I would always have a little bottle for him or whatever. But I was getting kind of sick of his nonsense at this point, so I didn't even bother. And he comes in, he didn't bring a gift, he didn't bring nothing, literally, but his sad sack self, and then had the nerve to complain because there was nothing drink. And I was just like, is this guy for real? Like, I was just really starting to wake up, because I was stuck in that pattern of, you know, if you're familiar with the attachment styles, he was an avoidant, and it was making me be an anxious person because he was always like keeping me at arm's length. And I'm just like, wait, why not? Like, love me, I love you, like all this silly stuff, you know. And you're just in that spiral and you get stuck there forever. So after that, we had a little conversation, and I met, you know, went off on him about the whole thing of him not doing anything. And he just had no, like, nothing about it. So I was like, you know what? But in theory, because he looked good on paper, right? He was financially good. He looked good. But he had some other issues. But for the most part, he looked like he was a guy that I should be dating and married to or whatever. And so then I found you because I started looking at, like, well, how do I get my person back? And yeah. So I'm watching all your videos, but then I started doing all the affirmations, and I'm jumping around at work like, yeah, he loves me because I'm this person. Like, I'm doing all this stuff, right, with all this energy and just, like, whatever. After 2 weeks, I was like, I don't even want that dude. I was like, I don't even want anything that looks like that. Like, yeah. I mean, in general, like, somebody who is good with their finances and all that other stuff, yes, like the basics. But at the same time, the attitude, the funky, this, the where are we at? We got to figure this out. You know, talking about having a relationship. No, we're over this.
Yeah, so, your self-concept jumped so high, right?
Like 2 weeks. And because I was doing it regularly, like every day, I was really feeling it. I wasn't like doing it out of a sense of like desperation, but just sort of fun, like, okay, we're over this, you know, chasing thing of him, trying to get him to do something. I was like, no, I'm the person he needs to be worried about. Yeah. So at the same time, my other ex-boyfriend had come to the birthday party, and there was one specific issue that he had an alcoholism issue, I'll have to just say that. And so that was one thing that we just couldn't get over, and or he couldn't get it, whatever it was. But he had finally gone and cleaned that up. And so he looked healthy. He was happy now and whatever. And I was like, And we hadn't even been talking like for 6 months. Like, I'd blocked him on everything. We weren't talking. He had no access to me. The only reason he came to the party is because his mother brought him, because me and his mother are still good friends. And so then we started talking after that. He asked me to go help him buy a suit. And then he invited me to go to dinner. And then he, you know, apologized for all the things that had happened when we dated before and whatever. And then we were together ever since after that. Then we got engaged maybe, like, I don't know, 6 months later. And then we got married in Vegas this February.
Oh my God. No way. I love this so much. Isn't it such an interesting, like, twist of events that occur that in... It unfolds so fast when you literally went through in a very fast amount of time an identity transformation. Like, you're completely identifying as a new person energetically. So, like, in the quantum field, the way that looks is your vibration just elevates so high. So you start to attract quick, like very fast.
Yeah.
And I love that you're like, in 2 weeks, it's all it took. I'm like, yes, like literally it's like instant, you know?
Right. Even though I was still thinking of the other thought, you know, initially that's what led me into it, because I was still stuck on that other thing. But at the same time, it was like, no, my higher self was like, no, we're over that. We got to let that go. Even though I wasn't necessarily conscious of it. And it happened so fast. It was almost scary. It was almost like, is this real? Like, is this really going to work? You know? And it's not like, let's just say when you get with you're saying with your guy, it's fun, right? You just met him. It's new. It's fun. It's whatever. But because we had known each other for a long time, there were some other issues that we'd had from before. So we did have our premarital counseling, and that really helped us a lot. And so, you know, even when you find your person, it's never, he could be perfect for you, but that doesn't make the relationship necessarily perfect. So you still have to work on things and be willing, and you have to have a willing partner, because the other person was obviously not willing to do anything and change the way he was. So there was nothing I could do about that. And yeah, you can do all your manifestations or whatever, but if the you're going to get the best and highest good for you, right? Whatever that might be. And at the time, Will, who's my husband now, wasn't, but then he became it. And then that's why we ended up back together. So.
And what I love about what you're saying is you didn't have to manipulate him. You didn't have to chase him down. You didn't have to try to force him to become different. You allowed things to be. You kind of released the control, right? You
released
I have to control the situation so I can get what I want. And that's where people make mistakes, because I'm like, you're adding so much resistance, feeling like you have to control that individual. You don't have to control people. You just have to be in a better place internally, energetically, and then what you want comes to you, where you you don't have to do any manipulation in your 3D world. You just have to be the change that you would like to experience by seeing yourself and other people in a new light. And then they work out their own shit. They work out their own mess. They work out their own problems, and they come to you as a healed, improved person. Exactly. I love your story so much.
Yeah, because I really listened to what you were saying, and you were like, no, you don't focus on him. You focus on you. And that was what was my problem with the other person, you know. And even when me and Will were together, it was like, focus on what you need to fix, nag, 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 like do this, do that. And nothing ever changes, because, you know, let's be honest, if the guy has you, they're not going to change anything. They already know you're not going anywhere for the most part. So they're just going to be like, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
They don't take it seriously.
No. And until you leave, then it's all of a sudden, whoa, all right. Then it kind of wakes them up. And if they care, they're going to do something about it. But if they don't, then they just go on about their business. But you can manipulate people, but in the end, it's not going to work out for you. You're not going to get the right, what's best for you if you're manipulating the person, because that's just a trap that you're putting yourself and them in.
Yeah, I always tell my clients, you know, manipulation can be done, but it backfires. And I'm like, you're going to be even lower in a place emotionally than you are now. So why would we even attempt to manipulate someone to get them back?
Right.
We can drop them from our awareness for some time and heal our relationship we have with ourselves and how we feel about ourselves and really like go through a glow up. I don't know about you, but anytime I've gone through a breakup, I'm 10 times better after that breakup.
Yeah.
I get excited about breakups because I'm like, I'm going to just be the most successful, hottest version of myself. I'm going to take so much better care of myself. I'm going to have more boundaries. And then women are really good at that. Like, they really level up after breakups. So I'm like, don't worry about the person. They're going to come back.
Yeah.
But your job right now is to go through your internal glow up. Like, this is really about you realizing your value, your worth. You are always the prize. You're always the person who should really be up on your own pedestal and call your energy and call your power back by focusing on honoring yourself. And when you do that, you gain so much power. And you become so free, and you become literally like a love magnet, an abundance magnet. Everyone wants to come to you in the best version and the most valuable version of themselves because they're matching you now.
Yeah.
So if you're in a low state, you attract low people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who are victims, they attract narcissists all the time. That's how it matches up. If you are very, like, you value yourself a lot, you cannot attract a narcissist. It doesn't happen.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't match up. It's a different vibration. So people show up for you different. It's amazing.
Yeah, they don't even come in your space. You know, I've noted that when I was younger, and I was just sort of la-di-da about stuff, I would have weird people come up to me and they would say stuff and I would just go to kind of blow them off. But then as I've gotten older and I've gotten more conscious about how I feel about myself, especially in the last year, it's like, you see people looking at you, but they won't even come over because it's like your energy's like, no, and you don't have to say nothing.
You repel the bad. You have like a forest field around you that's like, no, you're not welcome. And they know.
Yeah.
That the energy vampires know that they cannot come near you, and therefore they don't. But when you're in a low state, you match with them so quick. When you don't feel good about yourself, you feel lousy about yourself, you match with those people automatically and they drain you even more. And you're like, oh, they like me, but they're love bombing you because that is how they reel you in. They notice you're a very empathetic person. They notice that you're kind, you're generous, and then you put yourself first. So don't be afraid of like having extremely strong boundaries, extremely high boundaries and self-worth. Doesn't make you a bitch. It makes you a genius. You're so smart if you can value yourself in that way, because you will only reel in really good people, really good opportunities in that way.
Yeah, that's totally, I mean, even when I was out with my girlfriend one time, and we'll get back to your newest project right now, but we were out at some event from one of our other friends, and we noticed that like all these guys kept just like hovering around us. It was weird, and then they weren't saying anything. Mm-hmm. It was like they wanted to be around our energy, but they had nothing to offer, so they didn't even say anything. And I was like, are you seeing this? Like, am I imagining things? Is what's going on here? And she's like, yeah, I don't know, it's weird. We left there, went to another space, and it happened again. And even there, people kept like trying to touch us, like just sort of rub off or something weird, but they weren't saying anything. It was the weirdest thing I've ever experienced. But I was like, yeah, I think that's the level up, and they want to be around it. They're attracted to it, but they can't cross the boundary because they have nothing to give, and they know we're not going to put up with their junk, whatever junk they have. Mm-hmm. So everything you say is so flippin' true. Yeah.
And I want women, anyone who's listening to this, like, own it. Own that you are the prize. It doesn't matter how you look. It doesn't matter where you're from. Own that you are the prize. And men alike, too. If you're a man with low self-esteem, understand you can attract really great women into your life. And it's about the way that you view yourself. You cannot view yourself as second best. You cannot view yourself as just an option. You cannot view yourself as forgotten about, unworthy, unloved. Like, you have to change your entire self-conception, your self-image, and then everyone in the world treats you better. It's an automatic glow up that happens.
And like you said, you don't have to be an asshole. You know what I mean? You don't have to be nasty to people. You don't have to be rude. It's literally just your attitude about yourself internally that you know when you see somebody who walks in a room and you're like, damn, who's that? You know, just by how they carry themselves, that people are attracted to that. And it doesn't mean like, oh, I'm better than everybody. No, it just means I value me. I know I'm a fantastic person, and you could be fantastic too, but it has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, you know? No, 100%.
You don't want people to act that way too, because, you know, some people, it starts to go to their head, and then it's like, maybe girl, bringing that down enough.
Yeah. Oh, it's so simple. There's a way to be confident without being arrogant, and that confidence inspires other people to see their own value too. So it's a good domino effect.
So you had the manifester manifesting guide, and now you have the manifesting
academy.
Yeah. So tell us all about that and how people can join, and what's so amazing about this academy.
Oh my God, you're in there too. And we see the success story tab. People are having wins every day, which is just, it brings so much joy, because I'm like, everyone is stepping into their power. So the Academy is a full virtual manifestation program. It has all of my coaching guidance in recorded videos that you can do step by step. We focus on a lot of different areas like money, manifesting your own business, manifesting love and relationships, manifesting your health, manifesting your beauty. And we're about to release some new, every month we release new modules in there. We provide people with a lot of necessary resources for manifesting, like nervous system regulation exercises are such a huge part, because people, they leave that out and they're trying to manifest new, but they're getting triggered by their reality. I'm like, oh, you have to regulate the whole nervous system from head to toe, because it's in control of your energetic field. So we have to learn how to regulate self emotionally before we can quantum leap into a new timeline. So we focus a lot on those exercises in there. We have customized meditations for each morning. We have customized self-talk rampages for you to track your thoughts throughout the day and know how to speak to yourself for those new commands you want to instill into your life. It comes with a sleep track audios that I recorded in there. So it's a full-blown program with a very specific formula that our clients are using, and they're getting results. We have people manifesting $20,000 months. We have a girl who already did six-figure months. She's only been with us for 2.5 months.
Nice.
Like, they're just blowing it out of the water. We have people manifesting engagements just like you have, how you manifested your marriage. We have people manifesting exes back who they were no contact with to come back as a changed person, as a loving, caring individual who really wants commitment with our clients. And I'm like, you are the change, you know, it's you. You're the one doing all this amazing stuff. We also focus on like weight loss and healing ailments of the body. So it's like a compacted program. You guys can download it. It's linked on all of my socials at Flora Sivos if you guys want to check it out. And read on those testimonials. I post them everywhere. They're so exciting. They're so much fun. And it really instills belief into people. They're like, damn, if they can do it, I can do it too. I'm the same.
Yeah, exactly. I love the interaction in there. And because normally I'm so not a group person, like I have to kind of limit myself to once a week because I have so much other stuff going on where I'm not really in front of the computer to do it. But I love just hearing everybody's story and popping in there and the lives that you do. There's so much more information that's even not even in, you know, like it adds on to what you've already have, but it's more information. Like, it's like you're this unlimited fountain of information. And the only thing I was going to say that I would add on that is like, maybe at the end, have people be able to interact with you like, you know, not just send a question in, because it's so great to just talk to you, you know, in those, in when they're asking a question, or for everybody else to interact in that way too. That's the only suggestion I would have with it, because it's perfect otherwise.
Yeah, you know, that's a great idea. The group coaching, the way we have it set up, is we try to limit it to like a 2-hour time frame. We're noticing people are like, we want more, we want more. Like, we want to stay on with you longer. So that's a good idea. Maybe inviting people on camera if they're comfortable with it.
Yeah, that would be super cool.
Questions. Yeah, that's a really nice idea. I can definitely figure out how to incorporate that into the webinar.
Because that way, what, you know, I think a lot of people have similar questions. So that would help people get in real time maybe their answer, even if they don't get to get on camera, or, you know, they don't want to come on camera or whatever. Somebody else is going to have a similar story or similar thing. Yeah. So. Yeah.
You know, it'd be really nice. Would you want to come on our group coaching next week and just share your story of how you went through your
marriage? That would be fun. Sure. Yeah.
Let me know if maybe like Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday of next week, and I can schedule. Okay. We always schedule the group coaching on the first week of the month.
Okay. Yeah. It's September. Oh my God.
Yeah. I know. I'm like, it's time is flying.
It's crazy.
It would be so nice for someone to hear a live testimonial.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. So I can shoot you an email and just see what your schedule looks like. And I would love to have you on.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Yeah. Because I get people asking me the questions, and it's like, it's not, I can't just type it. It's like not a typed thing. I'd be typing for days, and then people would still be asking more questions. So it's easier just to talk about it and have everybody hear it at the same time.
Yeah. No, they would love that. I think the specific person segment of is what everyone wants, like it's, and it's what we struggle the most with, of like, how do I actually focus on myself? And your testimony is like ideal for that, so that would be really nice.
Yeah, because it's been a fun journey, and it's like, you still have to keep it up even when you get the person. You still got to keep that up, because you know, a lot of people were talking about how they're, from what I saw in your comments, how the husband wasn't treating them as well as they used to or whatever. So you always got to keep that thought and concept about yourself. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a one size fit all. It's like, no, this is how you have to live. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah. It's a constant evolution of you. And once you become stagnant or you backtrack in your identity, it shows. It's really going to reflect in your 3D world. So Oh my God, I'm so excited to have you on. This is going to be so good. People are going to love it.
It's going to be awesome. Well, this has been so fantastic. I mean, I've learned even more just from talking to you, which I knew I would. So I was like, yes, I had to have you on.
This was so fun.
Oh my God. And I hope way more people join the Academy, because it's so great to have more people come in and interact and that are positive and want to affect that kind of change in their lives and their world, because it's a ripple, right? It's not, you know, we all touch each other. So it's good to have people who are in that same mindset versus, you know,
the regular people,
the alternative. Yeah. So, and then you already said where people can find you and about the Manifestation Academy. And so one last question, what legacy do you want to leave the world?
Oh, that's such a nice question. I think the legacy I want to leave behind is that you always had the power within. You just forgot about it. And your life here is relearning your own power as a creator. And if you even get a touch of that in your life, you're going to be soaring so high.
Yeah, it's true. It's sort of like the Dorothy with the heels, right? You always had the power to go back home whenever you wanted to.
Yeah, you get to return to self whenever you're ready.
That's such a nice thought and something we need to remember on a daily basis and easy to do. I mean, even if you just write it down on a post-it note, return to self.
Yeah, return to home, because you got to take care of you first and foremost.
Yes, because if you're not happy, nobody's happy around you. Just saying.
It's so true.
No. Well, thank you so much for spending so much time with me, and definitely looking forward to being on the call next week. That's going to be awesome. And I hope everybody enjoyed it, because you're so fabulous and I just had to share you with the world.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you inviting me on. And yes, I'll reach out to you very soon about next week. Thank you so much.
Oh, yes, thank you. Have a great rest of your day and week.
You too. Have a good one.
All right.
Bye.
Okay.